Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We're continuing our sermon series from March on the parables of Jesus with the parable of the shrewd manager. If you ask people what is their favorite parable of Jesus, many people would pick the parable we talked about last week, the Good Samaritan. Many people would also pick the parable we're talking about next week, the prodigal son. I think very few people, if anyone, would pick this parable, the parable of the shrewd manager from Luke chapter 16. If it is your favorite, let me know. I'd really be interested in finding out why you picked it. It's not very heartwarming, like the other two parables. I think it's a little more difficult to understand, so maybe we should just skip this one. No, we're not skipping this one. When you understand it, you'll find that this is a great parable with a great message. When you understand it, you'll find it's a really powerful and extremely practical parable. And Jesus has a really important message to get across to us through this parable today. Here's how the parable goes. There's a rich man who called his manager to account because he had heard he had been an unfaithful manager of his resources. The manager knows he's been bad at managing his master's resources. He knows he's going to get fired. He knows this is it. What should he do? He doesn't want to beg. He doesn't want to dig. There aren't many other options. Here's what he decides. He starts giving incredibly steep discounts to the master's best customers. He starts cutting their debts. One customer, he gives a 20% discount. Another customer, 50%. He does this so that when he does get fired, the people he gave the discounts to will repay him with kindness. When the master finds out, he doesn't fire the guy. He commends him for his shrewdness. So what does this all mean? Like I said, it's a great parable with a great message. And when you understand it, you'll find that there are three really important lessons we need to learn from the parable of the shrewd manager. Lesson number one, God owns everything. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." Did you ever hear the toddler's rules of possession? These are really funny, but also kind of true. If I like it, number one, if I like it, it's mine. Rule number two, if it's in my head, if it's in my hand, it's mine. Number three, if I can take it from you, it's mine. Number four, if I had it a little while ago, it's still mine. Number five, if I saw it first, it's mine. Number six, if you put it down even for a second, it's mine. And number seven, if it's broken, it's yours. We can all relate to that because we've all been toddlers and all of us still have a toddler deep inside each one of us, right? Spiritually speaking, I think we're toddlers. We're just beginning to take some steps and learn the real truths of life. Spiritually speaking, we've still got a long way to go. Just beginning to learn from God's word what life is all about. We use the word mine a lot. My house, my family, my money, my time. But the Bible says in reality it's all God's. He created all of it. He owns it. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all who live in it. Psalm 24, verse 1. Everything belongs to God. He is the owner. Ultimately, we have no right to say mine about anything. All of it belongs to God. And one day we'll give it back to him. As my good friend now in heaven, Pastor Schuster, used to say, God created the world, and he still has the pink slip. God is the rich man in this parable. He's the owner. Everything the manager is working with belongs to the owner. And judging from the amounts the manager works with, the owner is ridiculously rich. God is the owner, so who is the manager? That's us. We are the managers who work for the owner. And that's lesson number two. We are stewards, managers of God's good gifts. 1 Corinthians 4:2, now it is required of stewards to be faithful. This parable is about how we manage the many blessings and gifts God gives to us. In all of Jesus' parables, we're never the owner. God's the owner of everything. We're never the guy in charge. We are the stewards, the managers of all of the good things that our owner, God, gives to us to manage. And with his gifts, God wants us to be faithful. It is required of stewards to be faithful, 1 Corinthians 4:2, to use God's gifts wisely and with integrity and for the right reasons. It is required of stewards to be faithful, honest, above reproach, unlike the manager in the parable Jesus tells. So there's the point of difference. We're not supposed to be like him in terms of character, but in terms of wisdom and priorities, I think we could learn something from this manager. Ultimately, we need to remember nothing belongs to us, and one day we'll give it all back to God and give an account of what we've done with the blessings he trusted with us. We don't get to keep any of it. There is a rich billionaire who died, and there's lots of press coverage, as there are when rich billionaires die. The man's accountant was there at a press conference, and one of the reporters asked the accountant, "How much did he leave?" The accountant looked at him in disbelief, like the reporter had just asked the dumbest question in the world. Finally, the accountant answered, "He left all of it." When we die, we leave all of it, 100%. We take none of it with us. God gives us time, talents, and treasures to manage and invest. 1 Peter 4:10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. 1 Peter 4:10. We can split up the gifts that God wants us to manage into three categories: time, treasures, and talents. That's what we call stewardship, being good managers of these gifts. Stewardship in the church usually deals with time, talent, and treasures. God wants us to manage these gifts, and by that he means to invest them wisely. Managing and investing are the same thing. We don't want to waste the good gifts God's given us. We want to invest them. All of life, according to the Bible, is an investment. We spend a lifetime investing our time, our talents, and our treasures, and we will one day give an account of what we've invested. Let's just briefly touch on each one of those. First of all, God gives us time to invest. And the great thing about time is that all of us get the same amount. The celebrity in Hollywood has 24 hours in a day, just like you do. So does the Wall Street rich stockbroker. So does the powerful person in Washington, D.C. They all have 24 hours given to them as a gift, free of charge, as do we. Each day, God gives us 24 hours as a gift free of charge. 24 hours is 1,440 minutes, which is 86,400 seconds. All free of charge, given to you from the Lord. And all the Lord asks you to do is use them wisely. He also gives us talents. Again, he gives us those talents free of charge. Unlike time, all of us have different talents. We have a different mix of talents from everybody else. We have some overlaps, we have some similarities, but each of us is unique in our combination of talents and how far they are developed. Now we can use our time to develop them, and we should develop our talents. That's part of our investment. But the talents and abilities we have ultimately come from our Creator. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And of course, God gives us money. Money usually comes to us from God's gift of work, which, by the way, is also a blessing from the Lord. We serve others with our time and with our talents, which were given to us by God. And in return, we receive money to meet our needs, but also to invest. God doesn't want us to waste our life. He wants us to invest it. He wants us to invest our time, our treasures, and our talents. And he wants us to invest it in that which matters most. And that's what this parable is about. That's the point of Jesus' parable. And he tells us so himself. He gives us the explanation for this parable. What is the best way to invest God's gift of time, talents, and treasures? What, according to God's word, is the best investment you can make? Is it stocks? Government bonds? Maybe the latest technology? Mutual funds? Crypto? Burying your money in the backyard? What's the best investment of your time, your treasure, and your talents? According to Jesus, and according to the rest of the Bible, the best way to invest our time, talents, and treasure is in, number three, relationships. The best investment is relationships. And this is the point of the parable. Jesus says so himself, Luke 10, verse 9. I tell you, use worldly wealth to do what? Gain friends for yourselves. Use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself. That, according to Jesus, and he would know, is your best investment. The shrewd manager figured that out at the end, and that's why he was commended by his owner. He says, the best thing I can invest in is these people. And that is what Jesus is trying to get across to us in our parable. It's not our money anyway. It's not our time anyway. They're not our talents anyway. The best thing we can invest in, the most important thing we can invest in, is our relationships. First and most importantly, our relationship with God. Secondly, relationships with other people, family, friends, our neighbor. In fact, that's what Jesus says is most important in life. When somebody asked Jesus what the greatest commandment was, he told them, love God and love people. Matthew 22:37-39. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. According to Jesus, loving God and loving people are the two most important things we need to do. You can sum it all up in love if you want. Instead of investing in earthly things, we want to invest in eternal things. And according to the Bible, there's only two things that last forever. One is God, and along with God, his word. Those last forever. The second is people. People are going to live forever, either with the Lord or separated from the Lord, but everybody created on earth is going to be eternal. Jesus wants us to focus on that which is eternal, which is relationships. Relationships should be our highest priority. Life is an investment. What are you investing your life in? If you're investing your life in stuff, I've got bad news. It's all going to burn up one day. It'll all be gone. But if it's in God and people, those last forever. You are investing in eternal treasures. That's the practical and important message Jesus is getting across through this parable. It really is a great parable. It's all about relationships. I encourage you this week to put this parable into practice by thinking about how you can invest your time in your most important relationships. How can you invest time, more time, in your relationship with God? Maybe going to Lenten services, spending extra time in God's Word, getting involved in the Lord's ministry at church. How can you invest your time in the most important relationships in your life? What can you do to invest your time in your relationship with your spouse that will bring the two of you closer together? How can you invest some extra time in your kids, giving them some extra time and attention? How can you invest some more time in your relationship with your brothers and sisters at church or in your close friendships? God wants us to make relationships the priority in our life, not the afterthought. Life's not about stuff. It's about relationships. Most importantly, our relationship with God. And secondly, relationships with others. Love God. Love, that's what Jesus told us to do, right? Love God. Love people. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.